So my wife told me that she went to a panel earlier today where two of four people said that they were depressed, and she said it got so bad she decided to leave because there was a sense of hopelessness. And I don't think that that's the way we should leave. We should leave thoughtful, we should leave realistic, but not hopeless. So I want to make some suggestions. First, in terms of the framework, that that the challenge that faces organized labor is not mainly structural, but it's conceptual. And that there's a different sort of unionism that needs to be introduced. And as such, the split that took place in 2005 was a sham and had nothing really to do with introducing a new unionism, but was more a reflection of personality, frustration, and some other things. The second thing is that the challenge for unions is that the basic paradigm that we've been operating under is dead, and I agree to a great extent with what Stanley just said, and that the search for a new deal is one that will be fruitless. That doesn't mean that socialism is immediately on the agenda, but it means that many of the leaders of organized labor continue to think about a revised version of the 1930s New Deal. So what can we do? There's basically four areas that I want to make some suggestions. One is that there need to be left reform efforts within the union movement. And I'm not just talking about union democracy struggles. I mean that there needs to be struggles, insurgencies within the union movement that are proposing a different approach to unionism. That many of the reform efforts that we've seen have been non-ideological pro-democracy. They've been good in many cases, but one of the things that's been very interesting is how they've often unraveled after some level of victory, and they've lacked any kind of ideological orientation. I think as a related point that I'm suggesting this and suggesting also that there's a profound limitation on staff roles. And as someone who has been and is a staff person, one of the things that one can notice is that particularly in the late 80s and 90s, that many leftists chose to enter into the union movement in staff positions, basically for any number of reasons. In some cases, it was because their bases were destroyed by deindustrialization or the relocation of industry. In other cases, people felt like they could be more effective as staff people. But there is a fundamental limitation of being a staff person. You're not the political leader. You're there at the request and of the political leadership. So we need left reform efforts that advance member control, a focus on social justice and a fight for structural reforms, real international solidarity, and organizational experimentation. By organizational experimentation, I mean things ranging from the notion of non-majority unionism, which is very, very important in right-to-work states. That is building up unions that do not have collective bargaining because they haven't been able to reach the 50% plus one threshold, but nevertheless operate as unions. So we need those left reform efforts. The second thing is a building up of community-based labor organizations, which Stanley may be right that the future is outside of the existing union movement, but I think that at this point, the left needs to be fighting for partnerships with forces that are outside of organized labor. So that includes one thing that I think is a real priority right now is the organizing of the unemployed, which really should be something that we're fighting to get central labor councils to take up and invest resources in. The Machinist Union, which completely surprised me, has been embarking on some work around organizing the unemployed. Excuse me, so we need to do that. Working America, which is a project of the AFL-CIO, has also been doing work around the unemployed. There needs to be support of worker centers, but also informal sector organizing. One of the things that's very interesting around the world is that many labor movements have begun projects. In Zimbabwe, I was there several years ago, and the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions was introducing this alliance with these informal economy organizations. And in several other parts of Africa and other parts of the world, there's been this interesting and underpublicized effort to build linkages between the formal union movement and the informal economy organizations, including encouraging the informal groups coming out of the informal economy to form organizations that align with the union movement. A third thing is something we talk about in my book, which is the need for working people's assemblies and the working people's agenda. The basic idea being the notion of constructing agendas, beginning at the local level, that identify like a 10-point program of what it is that working people are looking for and are demanding, but not simply a platform that's dreamed up in someone's basement, but the idea of engaging the members of organizations, unions, and community-based organizations in a discussion about the future and about what it is that working people are looking for. And assemblies, that is, gatherings or congresses of these organizations to endorse an agenda and to develop the requisite forms of organization. And the fourth area is global solidarity. And there are a number of things that areas where I think that we have to really do some experimenting and some challenges, but I want to say overall that that organized labor needs to rethink neoliberal globalization. That the way that most of organized labor has thought about neoliberal globalization, to the extent that it has been so-called deindustrialization and trade agreements. What it rarely thinks about is the military side of neoliberal globalization. So that pre-9/11, for example, in AFL-CIO, John Sweeney, president of the AFL-CIO, went farther than many, many other labor leaders in talking about neoliberalism. And at the 2000 Congress of the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions gave a speech that actually stunned delegates because it was a very profound criticism of neoliberal globalization. But what Sweeney left out, and which in part is why there was trauma on 9/11 and a complete unraveling of any strategy to deal with the situation subsequently, was the military side of neoliberal globalization. And they forgot that very important point that Thomas Friedman made, which is that there is no McDonald's without McDonnell Douglas. And that absence of the understanding of the military side and the absence of the idea of the need for the union movement to openly criticize U.S. foreign policy has led to a profound problem, not the least of which has been the inability to build real solidarity with labor movements in other parts of the world. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.